Hello, my name is Randy Townsend. I'm Director of Publications Operations for the American Geophysical Union, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief of the GW Journal of Ethics and Publishing. I've worked for AGU for nearly 15 years, and I've been managing their ethics program for about 9 years. Today, I'm going to share with you an excerpt of a presentation that I give to my editorial board members each year called Shit Happens. It's a brief reflection highlighting the significance of publishing ethics. In my role at AGU, I evaluate all allegations of misconduct, and I always end up with the phrase at the end of the day that you just can't make these things up. You see some of the weirdest scenarios that you could ever imagine, arguments, disagreements, misunderstandings, and I'm going to share with you one of those stories that I think was particularly challenging for me. Just for context, this is AGU by the number. We are the largest earth and space science organization in the world. We have more than 60,000 members, and right now we have 22 peer-reviewed journals. We have across the world, we have nearly 700 editors and associate editors that oversee the various aspects of our peer review and are also responsible for the journals. In review, we have nearly 16,000 peer reviewers also across the world. But we do respond to members of the worldwide Earth and Space Science community. There's many more than 300,000 individuals that consider themselves part of the AGU community. So the story I'm going to share with you today is about two research groups and the failure of a gentleman's agreement. If you're not familiar, a gentleman's agreement is an informal agreement that's often entered into between two or more groups or individuals. It's not in writing. There's nothing formal about it. It's usually conducted over a handshake where they both come to a mutual agreement, understanding over who's going to do what, and then they go about their way with their integrity at stake. If they violate that agreement, then it compromises their integrity. Unfortunately, there can only be one winner, and if this particular session wasn't called Shit Happens, and I wouldn't have too much to talk about here. But in this case, of course, something happens, and I can't make this stuff up. So in this scenario, we had two different research groups from two separate universities from two different parts of the world. They both converged onto one particular area to conduct research for different perspectives. They were both analyzing different effects of a seismic event that occurred. When the groups came together, they entered into a gentleman's agreement that each group would do their research, but they would only publish the findings for the research that they conducted. There could possibly be overlap, but you had the understanding that they would be able to evaluate for any of those overlap, and there would be recognition and citations in the event that some of that overlap was published. So the first group that completed their research and drafted their manuscript and submitted, unfortunately, submitted all of the research findings from both groups. They neglected the terms, the unofficial terms of the gentleman's agreement, and the paper went through peer review. It received really great reviews and accolades from the editors, so we were happy to publish it. AGU had no idea of this gentleman's agreement. We only knew that we had some great research in our fingertips, and we're proud to publish it. The second group, unfortunately, happened to learn about this when they saw the published paper online and read through. And as you can imagine, we're very upset and distraught to see that they were scooped, and the agreement that they thought they were under was invalid or ignored, and trying to figure out what it was they could do from that, because they didn't have anything in writing. So that's when AGU got the call, and I received a message from some very, very angry researchers who were in the process of developing their own manuscript to submit to AGU. They explained to us the gentleman's agreement and the understanding. And when I asked for more information, because I need to legitimize the allegation, I need to see something that was real. There was no official document in place to clarify the rules and who was responsible for what part of the research. So in this case, and what I would usually do if there was a question about who owned the research or who had the rights to publish, I would go to the university, because they document this kind of information. Because we had two different universities, I contacted both universities' research integrity officers, and surprise, surprise, each university defended the claims of their own respective research groups. So there was no clear or obvious right or wrong. We were still at this impasse. But the authors of the paper that published, they didn't dispute the existence of the other research group. So that disclosure gave me something that we could work with. We can have a conversation with them and hear as much as we could from their perspective and see what we can do to rectify the situation. So we came to an agreement. We arrived at an agreement between the authors and the other authorship group that we would publish. We will correct the published record and remove the data and information that did not belong to that group. So the corrections that were being proposed were actually pretty significant. It took up a nice chunk of the manuscript, and it seemed as though we were moving in the right direction. So because we wanted to be fair to all bodies, we took those proposed corrections and we shared that with the other research group and said, well, this is what we're proposing, or the authors are proposing, to edit so that you are free and clear to submit your research. Unfortunately, this shit happens. And the research group was fuming because they considered that the proposed corrections were insufficient. So we took it back to the authors and said, you know, you have to do more, you have to do better. And the authors got together and they went a little bit further and proposed even more corrections. Came back to the other research group. The other research group, still angry, not as angry, but still angry, said, no, that's still not enough. You know, we have to do more. They have to do more. So we took it back to the authors, and in between this, the editors are getting the evaluation because I have a new concern now. I'm concerned that the amount of content that's being edited out will no longer make this published manuscript valid anymore. It's losing its value because we're taking things out of it that were peer-reviewed and accepted as a completed manuscript. So each iteration of proposed corrections and exchanges, the editors are evaluating in coordination with the reviewers. So here we are back to the primary authors, and the authors go a little bit further and say, we really can't do any more than this. This is kind of it. And we reviewed it, and the editors agreed, said, this is it. This should be fine. And we shared it with the research group. And of course, the research group, no, they still wanted more. So it was really frustrating. And just to add fuel to the fire, there were time zone differences. So these research groups were in exact polar opposite areas of the world. So for the time to communicate proposed corrections and get those to the off to the research group, for them to vet it, you know, collectively vet the proposal, give our collect their feedback and then give it back. This dragged on for months and months, nearly a year of these exchanges back and forth, because of course, even in the middle of that is the editorial evaluation to legitimize or at least see if we still have a paper anymore. And on top of that, there were language barriers, which also made things a little bit difficult, trying to interpret the anger and the charged, inflamed language from the research group and also from the authors. So it was really, really challenging to get to a resolution that was amicable for everybody. So after that third exchange back and forth, we had to draw a line. AGU had to draw a line because, as I mentioned, this dispute was really aggressive and charged. And we had come to realize that there was little less than bloody retribution that the research group wanted. Like, they really want these authors to pay for what they did and violating the gentleman's agreement. But we had to draw a line. Whether it's bad blood or not, we have to protect the integrity of the published record and of the research. And AGU and the editorial board members had come to an agreement that said that we are satisfied with the proposed corrections. And at that time, we were going to initiate those corrections and we would consider the matter closed. So looking back at this entire experience, a couple of reflections that I have want to share with you all. Formal arrangements should really be in writing. And that whole activity and enterprise has very little, or should have very little, to do with the publishing part. That should happen upfront, upstream, in how these authors are conducting their research. It should be formalized. You should have one person that is overseeing, or at least a group of people that oversee the management of the research. And we could go to a person or a group and say, what documentation do you have related to this research, so we can have a good understanding of who has the right to publish what and who doesn't. All participating research groups should have documentation about what the agreement of shared understanding is, even before they pick up the first pebble, even before they unpack their research equipment. They should really have a clear understanding of what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do, what's the overlap, what are the concerns, and address those, and have a plan that anybody can see, even the other institutions, that their research areas could go in and formally accept this agreement into their files. So that if things do come in question, we can all clearly see. Ultimately, AGU could have retracted the paper for the deceptive practices on behalf of the first research group. It's no question that there was a violation of trust that was compromised by this author group. To some parts of it, it's sour grapes for the second research group, because they didn't do their due diligence. They did not have anything in place, anything formal in place. It was only through the honesty, and it's strange to say honesty from a group of people that just said had used deceptive practices. But, when we asked them, they admitted it. So there is that component of honesty is also attached to this. And, goes to the conventional wisdom that nobody is all good or all bad. There's parts of everything kind of mixed in. You have to pull it out to get to the bottom of things. Those authors were honest enough to admit that they had overreached. And they were also willing to work towards correcting the record so that it was more aligned with this agreement that this imaginary agreement that existed only in their minds. But, you know, I'm glad, you know, looking back that we were able to come to some resolution and remember that we're not really at odds. You know, we do things differently. And, you know, I really wish that more groups had these conversations up front, because it could avoid so many conflicts that get introduced into the research environment, into the publication realm, which you as publishers will have to deal with one way, shape, or form. I actually enjoy these kinds of conversations because you hear, once again, these strange stories that I can't make this stuff up. It's really amazing. So I will thank you for listening and for your time. Once again, I'm Randy Townsend, Director of Publications Operations at AGU and the Editor-in-Chief of the GW Journal of Ethics. If you have any questions about this, feel free to reach out to me. My email address and my Twitter handle are both here. I'm not as active on Twitter as others, but feel free. Thank you very much.